This is Talk Is Cheap D on KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peace Works Independent Community Radio. Okay, on Wednesday, August 15th, I spoke to a member of the Chicago Alliance Against Racism and Political Repression, and he's also a member of the Coalition to March on the DNC about the upcoming march on the DNC. And then I had a busy day that day. On the same day, I went to the, we have a weekly anti-war protest by various groups here in Eugene. So I went down and talked to the people at the Wednesday anti-war protest about Palestine down there. So that's what you're going to hear today on Talk Is Cheap on KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peace Works Independent Community Radio. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends, support independent media, and end all wars.
I'm Fayani Aboma Mijana, but I'm a member of the Chicago Alliance Against Racism and Political Repression, and I'm a spokesperson of the Coalition to March on the DMC.
All right, so you guys are having problems getting a permit for the march on the 18th at the DNC, is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, we knew the city was going to jam us up for as long as they could, and we're fighting till the very last day to get the route that we want, because the route that they want to give us, the route that the judge ruled in favor of, is not long enough for the number of people are expecting. It's on side streets, so it puts, you know, the tens of thousands of people we're expecting in danger, and it doesn't have a clear sight and sound of United Center, and United Center is where these genocidal politicians are going to be, and they need to hear and see us.
All right, and you're not against the Democrats in general, but the Democrats' position on the ceasefire in Gaza is what you're concerned about, right?
No, we're opposed to the Democrats. We're opposed to Kamala. We're opposed to the Democratic Party leadership, the Bidens, the Wallses, the Blinkens. We're opposed to them. This is a march against them and the Democratic Party leadership for funding and aiding this genocide in Palestine.
Well, and the Bidens are still a faction of the Democrats that are basically in favor of war, I notice. I said long ago when Biden got elected that we were going to go into Ukraine, and sure enough, we went into Ukraine. And these are the people that pass a defense budget within a week, a $1 trillion defense budget within a week, right, rather than doing social programs.
Right, yeah. I mean, and that's exactly what we're protesting. We, our principal demands are stand with Palestine, end all U.S. aid to Israel. And then we have these secondary demands like money for jobs, school, education, not for war. We have demands around securing reproductive rights, securing LGBTQIA plus rights, securing rights of black people, immigrants. And so we recognize how this deprivation and this deterioration of people's rights here are directly connected to all these wars in the Ukraine, in Palestine. Genocide. You know, our government says they have money. They don't have money for the things here, but then they pass these $1 trillion military budgets. They send tens of billions to Israel and Ukraine. So yeah, I'm right there with you.
And so just today I heard that they just sent another, what is it, $20 million in aid, F-15 fighters to Israel?
Yeah, and who's that money going to? The military contractors that, you know, line the pockets of this Democratic Party leadership. And that's why we're marching. That's who we're marching against principally, because they are responsible for this genocide. If you recall, Joe Biden said, if there wasn't an Israel, we'd have to create an Israel. And it speaks to the fact that the existence of Israel is very lucrative for the rich and powerful. And so they have to do everything in their power to prop it up. And who gets a lot of money from this? It's a lot of military contractors who, you know, get these, you know, fat payouts for weapons and bombs and things that are killing people today.
So that money goes to a small group of people rather than spreading that money out to the poor and the lower classes. It's a small group of people that, you want to elaborate on that gain that money from weapons sales.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna be here all day if I explain how capitalism works, but. Yeah, you know, that's what the political system that we live under exists to do, ultimately. It exists to facilitate, you know, the continuous reproduction of private property to uphold the status quo of, you know, a lot of people suffering while a few people get rich. And so the Democratic Party is one party that represents, you know, a portion of the rich and powerful, and in fact, some of the richest and most powerful, you know, the tech billionaires, you know, these really powerful people, the military contractors who have a lot of money and power. And so, that's who we're protesting. So when you ask, are you opposed to the Democrats? Like, absolutely. You know, they're a danger to the world, as we're seeing in what's happening in Palestine, over 50,000 people dead or thereabouts, an entire city of 2 million people displaced. And at the same time, here in this country, you know, most people in 2023 killed by police. That was like the most, it was a record in 2023. So the point I'm making is like they're a danger and they need to be protested, and we need to build a mass movement that can push our own demands and bring about change from ourselves.
Right. The homeless advocates here in Eugene are saying that we're sweeping the homeless off the streets right now, which is the same thing that they're doing in Gaza.
Yeah, and they're actually doing it in Chicago too for the DNC. You know, like it's like the poor and the hungry of the world, you know, our faiths are intertwined, and so that's why we fight for Gaza. You know, as we fight for our existence here in the United States, just as all of these organizations in our coalition from different parts of the movement, we're all coming together, not just fighting for Gaza, but we're also fighting for ourselves because our faiths are linked.
All right, and then I just read recently a Financial Times article. They said that there is, the United Arab Emirates have agreed that if we could get a ceasefire in there, we could put an international force into Gaza and shut everything down and get humanitarian aid into Gaza. So there's already a plan. We know what to do, right? What is it that you want to do? What's the solution to Gaza?
I think for us, of course we want a ceasefire, but we want a ceasefire that's on Palestinians' terms. And we don't want it on the UAE's terms. We want it on Palestine's terms. We don't need outside armed forces to oversee the peace. And that, like, Palestinians can do that themselves. Like, the stipulations of the ceasefire, whenever they were engaged in ceasefire negotiations with Israel, said as much, you know. We are perfectly capable of seeing things through. Here's what you need to agree to. And they didn't. In fact, Israel only further escalated by bombing sovereign territory. And so what we're saying is the way to, the real solution to this situation, you know, the coalition has many different opinions on it because it's a broad base. But, you know, my organization, the Chicago Alliance Against Racism and Political Oppression, the U.S.-Palestinian Community Network, we believe that the root of it all is the occupation, the illegal occupation that began in 1948. And so that's why our demand is end all U.S. aid to Israel, because we understand that without U.S. aid, Israel would not exist.
You said that it's an illegal operation. What Israel is doing is illegal. Why is it illegal?
Illegal occupation, you know, and also, I mean, the operation, I mean, but when you say, I say illegal occupation because the entire basis of Israel's existence is rooted in the land theft of Palestinians in 1948, the Nakba. It was, the entire starting point for where we are today.
Right, and Palestinians don't have equal rights in Israel. Is that right?
Right, they don't. They don't, no.
What, for instance, voting and the border crossings, all of this is an apartheid. They've even the UN has acknowledged that this is an apartheid genocide situation.
Right. You know, there's a genocide happening, and then, you know, rapes, tortures, abductions. It's endless and it's horrific, and the world's highest bodies are complicit in it, and some have stood on the right side. Like, we've seen the UN come out and say that everything post 1967, all those encroachments, is illegal, and that's positive. But we being the Chicago Alliance and USPCN, would go even further and say that you know, the entire occupation is illegal because it was land theft. You know, these are people that had lives and families and homes just being totally uprooted and killed. So, yeah, that's what I would say.
Is going to go more than one day, right? You're going to. I see that we're marching more than one day, and there's speakers going on.
Yeah, I mean, we have 2 days of marches. There's a march on Monday. There's a march on Thursday. That's August 19th and August 22nd. And yeah, so we're bringing together organizations from all over the country. We have 21 organizations from 21 states in the U.S. We have organizations that are international, and then at the same time, yeah, we're bringing speakers from all across the Palestinian Liberation Movement in Chicago and across the country, and as well as speakers from different parts of the movement, like in my organization, the Chicago Alliance, where we do work to stop police crimes. And so, yeah, we're raising these demands because the people responsible for it will be in Chicago, you know. So, yeah, that's what I would say.
Any idea of what type of police presence is going to be? What are the police planning to do? Are you seeing any what type of preparation are they doing?
Yeah, I think they've had elaborate training and things. And as far as we're concerned, our concerns are just the fact that, like, we don't want the police there. In Milwaukee, where the RNC was last month, outside police officers from Columbus, Ohio, murdered a black man who was experiencing a mental health crisis. You know, they made no efforts to de-escalate, and the sad truth is there's no accountability protocol whatsoever for outside police officers. We found that to be the case here in Chicago too. When we started asking questions about outside police officers in Chicago and how to hold them accountable, we just got a lot of dancing around the question. So that's what we're worried about, outside police officers. We're also worried about police officers being near our protests. So we've gone to great lengths to protect ourselves because we want to have a protest that anyone, regardless of age, immigration status, disability status, can come out. And so the way to keep the cops off our back, first and foremost, is us fighting for the permit, fighting for the march route that we want. And secondly, it's to train up our own people, to these marshals from the movement to de-escalate and keep people safe. And then third, it's bringing in legal observers from the movement to observe and make sure the police aren't doing any bullshit, you know, excuse my language. And, you know, we don't want the police near us. The only responsibility that they have is to not infringe on our First Amendment right and to be as far away as possible. So those are our views on it.
And then there won't be any violence. Really, the police are the ones that are guilty of violence.
Right. Right. I mean, we've been saying in every interview, you know, since this whole effort started for a year, we intend on having a peaceful, family-friendly protest. We want people of all ages, you know, what I just said earlier, to be able to come to this march and express their First Amendment right to protest. And so we're going to great lengths to ensure that to be the case. And so, yeah, that's what we would say. But, you know, the people who are opposed to us just try to delegitimize us by stoking those flames.
And so in Milwaukee, the ACLU got involved in trying to get their permit. Is the ACLU helping you with that permit? Or is anybody legal?
We have legal help, but it's not the ACLU. It's someone local to Chicago by the name of Chris Williams.
Right, and then you're planning a bunch of teach-ins, I notice, about this during this event. Is that's during the week?
I don't think we're hosting teach-ins. It might be other organizations that are doing that. But the coalition, you know, we're composed of a lot of different organizations who might be doing their own thing during the week. But officially as a coalition, we're doing marches on the 19th Monday and the 22nd Thursday.
All right, I'm going to wrap up here. The only other thing, I've been listening to the Poor People's Campaign, you know, and they're saying, similar to what you're saying, is that they have a bunch of demands, but it's including stop spending so much money on war and spend that money on the poor. And
right.
It would be much more efficient use of that money, and that money wouldn't be in the hands of a small group of people. Anything else you want to elaborate on that? On what is the solution?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a rotten system that we live under, where our two choices are Trump and, you know, Harris walls. So you have a, you know, you have Trump, and we have 4 years of proof and everything since and before. And then you have Kamala Harris, who for the last 4 years has done nothing to advance things for people and has only been complicit in this genocide. And so we see that as a rotten system, you know, that is reaching its logical sort of place. You know, whenever you have a system that serves a class of people who are rich and powerful, inevitably, there is no democracy for everyday people, working and oppressed people. And so, you know, the Palestinian upswell has only exposed how much that is to be the case. We've seen historic protests all over the country every week to end this genocide. We've seen student encampments come up and protest and be brutalized. We've seen police officers send Zionist mobs onto students at UCLA. All of these things, you know, for people who understand what the system is not necessarily surprising, but it just shows clearly what the nature of the system we live under is. And so the only way that it can be opposed is by building a mass movement to oppose it. And so us marching isn't necessarily because, it's not because we want to restore the soul of the Democratic Party. You know, I say that with air quotes. It's because we believe that the way to change things is to build a mass movement that can make it happen. So that's what I would say.
Well, I mean, and I am wrapping it up here, but it took a worldwide demonstration to get the George Floyd policeman convicted. It took a worldwide
right.
movement. So, I mean, what will the world look like? Would we have a three-party system, or what is what will true democracy look like? And to as a final comment, what would true democracy look like in the United States? You think
true democracy looks like, you know, everyday people having a say in all aspects of their life, which isn't the case under this system. And you know, I'm a member of the Freedom Road Socialist Organization, and so, you know, I believe in a socialist future. I'm not speaking for the Coalition to March on the DMT when I say that, but, you know, that's what I'm fighting for. I'm fighting for socialism. So, yeah.
All right, thank you very much for your time.
All right. Thanks. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Bye.
My family's from Lebanon, and this just hit me hard. I grew up during the Civil War in Lebanon. Not in there. I grew up here, but my family's from there, and losing so many family there, it just really hit home for me, and I was trying to figure out what I could possibly do that might make a difference. And standing on a corner talking to people seemed like a good idea. It feels like something. It helps me sleep at night, and I think it's important to end apartheid wherever we can find it, even before this happened. It's been unsustainable the way Palestinians have been living for 75 years is not sustainable, in my opinion.
So, me and my partner started coming out here the first week of October. That's when we started. We just, every single day, Monday through Friday, all winter, all until we got sick in January. Then we didn't come out every day. But we were the first ones to do that. And why? Because I felt compelled to do something. Granted, this isn't the most effective, you know, kind of tactic, but it's just we wanted to do something. And so we kept doing it. And then more people came.
Mm-hmm.
And why I do it? First of all, I am a very big supporter of Jewish Voice for Peace. And there is a new Jewish Voice for Peace group in Eugene. And you can go online and find it. And you don't have to be Jewish to be a supporter of Jewish Voice for Peace. So the original sign I had basically followed that national thing, which was ceasefire now and then Jewish Voice for Peace. That's what we were doing all winter long. Why I'm so concerned? Right now, things. I would say that what I can see is that Jewish people and Israelis are being used by the superpowers, basically for the U.S. to keep its hold in the Middle East. It's their doing, and they just use the desires and the fears and the yearnings of Jewish and people, and then again, in addition to Israelis, and it's not exactly the same. And so I'm beginning to realize that we're being used. And that's a really significant way to understand what's going on. So you can be, many people think that the primary thing for Jewish people is anti-Semitism. And that is significant, and it's you know, historically goes back 2,000 years. But in addition to that, right now, people are being used for imperialist purposes. And that's what I want to dispel, I guess.
Awesome.
And yeah. So Jewish Voice for Peace, though, is made up of Jewish people, obviously. So there's a large group of Jewish people that are against the treatment of Palestinians.
Yes.
Do you want to elaborate on that or anything?
Well,
how many are in your group, would you say? How many people?
Nationwide, I don't know. But thousands locally? And thousands. Well, it's a very new group. It's a very, it just started.
As of like February or so, right?
Yeah.
Sometime there in winter, I
yeah.
remember.
Yeah. So I don't think the numbers are important. But what the Jewish Voice for Peace, I believe, began in something like 1996. It is not a brand new organization. And it's been working against the occupation of Palestinian land at least since 1948, when the boundaries were determined by the UN. And how could I say this? I think it's really important that the general public know that there is a significant group of people in this country and in other, especially Western countries, who are Jewish, who are not Zionists. And some people are recently not Zionists, some people have not been Zionists for a very long time, and this is not the first terrible incident, but it is probably the most terrible incident, because you go back, the one before that was 2014, and then there was 2006, and it just goes every few years. The people in Gaza have been basically bombed or continuously bombed. But the scope and the amount of money that our taxes go to has really, I don't know if it's increased in the last 5 or 10 years. They've been giving the billions for several, many years now. But Biden had a chance, you know, after October 7th, to stop U.S. complicit support of the occupation and now it's genocide, but ethnic cleansing, the whole that's been going on for years and years and years. And He could have, but he wouldn't have.
And then I forgot to ask you your pronouns as well.
Oh, she, her.
You touched on anti-Semitism, so there, it's not, to be pro-Palestinian is not anti-Semitic, right?
From my point of view, I mean, there are many, there are different opinions on that, but, and I urge people who are interested in knowing different viewpoints, there is some really good material and viewpoints, even if it's not your own viewpoint, on the Jewish Voice for Peace website. They discuss what is anti-Semitism, what is the relationship between anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism. If they were the same thing, they would have the same name, right? They don't. There's two different things going on.
And I've got a question. If you don't want to answer it, that's fine. But I've been there was a recent article in the Financial Times where they're saying that there is a plan for the a united force, a worldwide force, to go into Israel and shut everything down and get humanitarian aid in there. But Netanyahu has stopped it, and partly because he won't recognize the Palestinian Authority. Anything on Netanyahu or
what's the solution? I haven't heard this plan.
No, I know. Nobody. It's only being reported in a few papers. But
and what is it? Who's doing it?
The United Arab Emirates are, and there's a few other countries that are willing to go in, boots on the ground, and with an international force, and shut the whole thing down, and so that they can get more humanitarian aid in there.
I bet the Houthis are involved in that one.
They're in the north. Yeah. What about? But I mean, anything on Netanyahu? Is he representative of Israel, or anything you want to say about him?
I suggest people who want to know something about Netanyahu, Google Netanyahu and look at the many very different perspectives. I mean, there is so much to say about him, his factions, that it's best for everyone to do the research. And I urge people to do that instead of listening to the little sound bites that we get. It's really, and it's not just about Israel-Palestine. People need to self-educate, be informed, look at the sources of information that you usually look at and consider them critically. Look at, search for other forms of information, and there's a wide range. I mean, there you have to be really on the lookout. For example, there are these websites by Christian nationalists, which are very, very different from other. They have a different, very different outlook than, say, Jewish Voice for Peace or Al Jazeera. And so we all need to become really more informed and critical about our news and information sources, and not just go with what we usually do, because I myself feel that we have all been the subject of propaganda. We're all somewhat brainwashed. And we all need to fight for clarity in these difficult times, not just Israel-Palestine, but the election, that's coming up. And it's not just the election, but, on our national level, our state levels, our local levels, what kind of messages are being perpetrated on our ears and eyes?
All right, thanks.
We just need this spot. My name is Molly Saroy, and I am a retired PERS member. I work for the University of Oregon, and I'm here because I have very close friends in Palestine. And I am so closely connected to the pain and the suffering of the Israeli occupation and the atrocities that have that are being committed continuously since October. So I've been coming out here since I got back from Palestine in January, and then I went back to Palestine and returned out back on the street 3 weeks ago when I got back from my second recent trip.
Okay, cool. And can I ask, what were you going over there for?
I've been going to Palestine for close to 15 years because I have very good friends there.
Okay, like a visiting thing. It wasn't like an organization.
No, okay. It's cool. By myself.
Cool. What's it like getting through security here?
Okay.
What's it like to get through security to go to Palestine, or what is there any stories you can tell us about?
Yes.
What
so
goes on in Palestine when you're there?
Well, I can tell you just about getting in. Is this when I tried to return in April? It was the most extensive questioning or interrogation that I have experienced in my 13 years of going back and forth. And I really didn't think they'd let me in. But anyway, that's just to get in through the Ben Gurion airport in Tel Aviv. But so in terms of my own personal security, I was in no danger whatsoever. I was staying in the West Bank. Gaza is but a mere 55 miles away, and as you probably both know, it is under constant bombardment. Where I was in Bethlehem, we hear the sounds of those military jets that are carrying the bombs that the U.S. has provided them to drop on Gaza. And I cannot go a moment without thinking about the genocide and our complicity as American taxpayers, PERS members. We have a responsibility to try and stop this, and then to invest in the reconstruction and the care for the people of Palestine that have been, whose lives have been destroyed.
And you're a PERS employee. Anything on boycott, divestment, and sanctions?
Yeah.
Is the PERS invested in Israel or the military
Absolutely. Industrial
complex?
All of it. Yes.
Are you trying to stop that?
So I try. My first effort was to try to get out of PERS. To try and leave and take my earnings out.
Your retirement. Focus.
My retirement earnings out. I started on that in 2022. And after going through all the channels, I ended up filing a lawsuit against the state of Oregon because I could not get out of PERS. I could not even walk away from my earnings. They would still be invested in the Oregon Public Employees Retirement Fund, and all of those public holdings and private holdings that are invested in the Israeli occupation, in global arms manufacturers, in global carbon emissions, everything and anything that is really causing harm to humans and the planet, the Oregon Public Employees Retirement Fund is invested in. Though I might just make this one comment. Elbit Systems, which is an Israeli defense contractor providing so many of the weapons also, the Treasury did divest from Elbit Systems. But there are many, many others. General Dynamics, Boeing, Northrop Grumman, Lockheed Martin, they're the ones making the bombs. The MK-84, 2,000-pound bomb, 18-inch diameter, 12 feet 9 inches long. They are dropping that all over Gaza. Those things leave a crater that's about 24 feet deep. 36 feet wide and has a fragmentation spread of 400 to 600 yards. And that's what American taxpayers' taxes are going into providing to the Israeli occupation and PERS.
And your taxes are just basically blown up then, really,
for
nothing, basically.
Yeah,
literally.
Yeah.
Yeah,
literally
yeah.
blown up. Yes. Anything else you'd like to say then? Anything else we haven't covered or any other points you want to make?
I guess the Israeli and the Israeli occupation, that is the root of this problem. And I would contest anyone who says otherwise. And the Israeli occupation. Free
right, thank
Palestine.
You.
Thanks so much, you guys. Yeah.
So my name's Rebecca Amodeo. I am a public servant. I work for the Oregon Department of Education. And this is actually only my second Wednesday out with this group specifically. I've certainly seen them a lot, but I have, I'm usually asleep at this time of the day. So I haven't been able to get out here very much. I've been more connected with them online. But I did want to be able to come out and just help show the rest of Eugene that people throughout our community are very much on the right side of this issue and that we are not in agreement with what's being done in our name. Also, I have really appreciated this group specifically and the people in it for helping me get more connections to people who can support my current campaign to help a child named Nadal get out of the Gaza Strip. He's currently in Eastern Khan Yunis, and he's 15 years old. I am going to be his sponsor, his host here when we're successful in getting him out of that area. I know it's going to be quite a bit of work to finish doing that, but I think that we can find enough support in Eugene to make it happen. I would say both funding and paperwork are massive hurdles. Luckily, we have a bit of a head start for Nadal on some of the funding. Someone who he connected with in the UK before I met him actually has raised quite a bit of money for him, and we've been able to, she wasn't really able to get it to him, but she raised it, and now that I've gotten more into the mix and I've been able to help with some of the logistics stuff, we've been able to get almost $6,000 from that fundraiser to him. That just went today. Really great day. And then I'm expecting another like $3,000 tomorrow, and then another like few thousand dollars of installment from that same existing fundraiser. But definitely also with the way that the border is being monitored right now and shut down, really we need a lot of help also getting any additional traction we can on the paperwork side.
Sweet.
Did you want to give out information on how people can help out?
Sure, yeah. If anyone would like to get in touch with me, I made a Gmail account to talk to people. Nadal and Rebecca at gmail.com. It's NedalAnd Rebecca at gmail.com. Nadal and Rebecca.
Sure, yeah. So this is a grassroots movement like it always has been. It's not a new thing to call for peace and the end to bombing around the world. Yeah, I've been coming out off and on since I think February, when I first learned that they're still out here. But the reason I looked for it was because I was out here back in probably 2004 to protest the Iraq War with my grandparents. And so this is a long movement, and we're not going to stop. But specifically, this message, not another bomb, it's calling for an arms embargo, which is something that Americans broadly agree on, that we don't want our tax dollars to be spent on bombs and fighter jets and killing overseas. We want housing right here at home.
And is Not Another Bomb like a organization?
Do you want to learn more?
Thing? Oh yeah, dot com.
If you want to learn more, it's notanotherbomb.com.
Okay. Cool. Did you have anything else to add?
But if you know anyone who is like...
That's like no pressure. I just, you know, if
come
I missed
us,
anything.
Come join us, 5 p.m. Wednesday.
Cool. And this was a Planet versus Pentagon, something like that, right? That kind of organized this like weekly thing? Or am I just super wrong?
Michael Kerrigan and Sue have done this year after year. They come out here every Wednesday for years. So, and then other groups join them. But.
Yeah, I couldn't speak to a specific organizational affiliation, but it's possible. But like I said, it's a grassroots movement. We've had folks come up to us and say, love what you're doing. And we say, hey, see you next week. So that could be you, listener.
Awesome.
You know about the Poor People's Campaign, right? It's the
of
same
course.
Thing. You want to speak to that at all? They're doing similar to what you're saying. Take military spending and spend it on the homeless and poor people.
Well, I won't speak to what another organization is doing, but yeah, absolutely. They've done amazing work over the years, for many, many years.
Please. singing all the jocks that they have ever heard. And they're all calling out of my name, even academics searching with the word. Faces and traces of more.